About 15 minutes left on Bullseye on the Afternoon. 1 hour short today because coming up at 5 o'clock, it's the Cobos Insurance Center Countdown at the Q. Tim Elkhorn, Scott Cirilla will preview tonight's matchup between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Utah Jazz. In the college ranks, it's the first day of this March Madness tournament, one of the absolute greatest times of the year. No question about it. As a matter of fact, the TV here in the studio, we've had on and we've had it on the entire time we stepped in the studio. We've been watching NCAA college basketball games. Tough life we lead, let me tell you. It's really, really rough stuff. We're sitting here hearing multi-platinum recording artists sing his songs live in studio. We're watching some hoops. And perhaps the best part of this show, we get to talk to a guy that many of you in the listening area know as the former general manager of the Lake Erie Crushers, but this is a guy with lots of college basketball experience. He's coached under the likes of Oliver Purnell and Ron Jersa, a guy that spent some time as an assistant basketball coach at the University of Dayton. The Flyers are actually in the tournament again, one of only a handful of teams to make it to the tournament 7 straight years. And of course, he was also an assistant under Ron Jersa at Marshall. My good buddy and yours, the one and only Daniel P. Helm. How are you, sir?
Well, I don't know if I can live up to that introduction, but I'm doing great. How are you?
So far, so good. Loving the first day of the tournament. One of the absolute best days of the year. You know, I think it's interesting how when you ask folks, what do you do during the tournament? I think the first 2 days of the tournament, everybody's just so excited about everything that surrounds this tournament. But you made a comment to me, you know, from a coaching perspective, especially as a higher seed, that I thought was very, very interesting. All you really want to do is just kind of survive that first day.
Oh, for sure. You know, Notre Dame barely held on against a great Princeton team. You know, the Ivy League's won, I think, 4 or 5 games in the last 5 or 6 years. Gonzaga struggled a lot with South Dakota State, but you're getting the guys all in a new environment in an arena they've never played in before. And it's really, you know, you talk to these coaches that have had a lot of success in the tournament, you've got to win the first game. And as cliche as that, you can't win the next one until you win the first one. But there's something about teams settling in, getting comfortable, and you can kind of throw out what happens in the first game. You know, you can have Gonzaga, who was, you know, a single-digit game until the last 10 minutes of the game. They could go on a run now that they're comfortable playing. You know, they're all playing together for the first time. And you just, you know, it's cheesy, but that survive in advance, and you've got to win that first game.
Talk about this whole 12-5 thing. Boy, it looks like earlier we were going to see at least one 5 seed go down, but both 5s advanced. Princeton fell in the final moment, 60-58. A nice late surge by Princeton in that game. They came up just short. The other 12-5 matchup a little bit earlier on today, we saw Virginia advance over UNC Wilmington. But there's a pretty interesting one going on right now with Middle Tennessee State taking on Minnesota. And as you mentioned earlier, surprisingly enough, the 12 seed was actually the favorite in this game.
Yeah, they were 1.5-point favorite. And you know, you get those top seeds, the ones, twos, and threes, and that's where you get a lot of these one-and-done guys going to the NBA. You know, a lot of people know the names more after they're out of college. But you get these teams, you know, Minnesota right now, they're a pretty good team and from a pretty good conference. But Middle Tennessee State, I mean, they were a 15 last year. I don't mean to bring up old wounds to you, but they defeated Michigan State in one of the biggest upsets in you know, recent memory.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, and they lost no players. So you got a team that's won 30 games and a conference that's a little weaker, but those guys know how to win. And there's just not much separation from the fives, even the fours. I mean, Butler and Winthrop was pretty close there for a while, between the four and fives all the way up to the 11-12s, you know. And Middle Tennessee State and teams like that at the 12 line are 30-win teams that win a lot of games, which to me is a lot better than I'd rather see them play, you know, than a Syracuse team that's lost 12 times or Vanderbilt that's lost 15 times. I know our good buddy Ted's not going to like that, but you get some of these average high-major conferences, and the little guy gets a shot because these guys play together for 3-4 years.
Dan, how does that work? How does that work in the committee that a team like that ends up being a 12 seed, getting getting to play against a team like Minnesota? And I know this, in the first time it happened, I think NDSU, North Dakota State, ended up being a favorite against Oklahoma the year they knocked them out of it.
Yeah, and I think we've all seen before, Vegas is normally not wrong or very far off. So that number, that game's probably going to be pretty close. I think a lot of it is the committee will always favor the high major conferences. And as much as they'll never admit out loud, it is all about filling the arenas and making sure that you get teams that can travel. And that's why a team like Wichita State can fall to a 10. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the Dayton Flyers, but the committee has been very good to them because they travel well. And more people want to see the big-time teams play, and they're more of a name. Because after you get, you know, we love these first 2 days. There's nothing better. All the upsets, the buzzer beaters, you've got a ton of games going on. But, you know, when it's all said and done, there's not a lot of these teams that we're talking about today and tomorrow standing when we're talking about the Final Four and the championship game.
Dan Helm is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We're with you here for about five more minutes or so before we send you to the Cobos Insurance Center countdown at the Cube, previewing the Cavaliers and Utah Jazz tonight. We've talked extensively about the first 2 days and just how exciting these first 2 days of the tournament are. To me, I don't know, I think a lot of folks are coupled in here too, but it's the second half of day one that excites me. It gives me a chance to reflect on what happened earlier, but there's still so much basketball to be watched a little bit later on tonight. When you look at some of these matchups taking place later today, 11th-seeded Xavier taking on 6th-seeded Maryland. You've got a 1-16 Villanova against Mount St. Mary's. You've got St. Mary's taking on VCU. That's a 7-10 matchup. Vermont taking on Purdue. That's a 13-4. More upsets have happened there in recent years with a 13-4 taking on the 4. You've got some intriguing matchups throughout the rest of the night tonight. Of all the matchups that still remain today, which is the most intriguing to you?
Well, I'm going to cop out a little bit. I've got two. That Purdue-Vermont does a lot more for me than I think people realize, because Purdue for two straight years has blown double-digit leads and lost, and I think last year they were actually at 14 and they lost to Arkansas State or somewhere directional Arkansas, one of those, and they've lost a couple close games as the 4 in the last couple of years. So I'd like to see them survive and see if they can, because if they can get that first win, they've got a guy, a double-double machine, who might be the National Player of the Year in Swanigan that could really take them far. The other great matchup is that Xavier-Maryland game. Xavier suffered an injury and has really, two guys were out for a while, one is still out, but that dropped them from being a potential 4 or 5 seed to an 11 because it's body of work, and they lost 7 games in a row in February. Not really the time you want to do that. But they're a little bit more healthy. They won a couple games. They actually beat Butler in the conference tournament, lost by 3 or 4, I believe, to Villanova in the Villanova or Seton Hall in the Big East tournament. That's a conference that has 7 teams in the thing. So I really would love to see how a middle-of-the-pack Big Ten team, which is weird to say with Maryland, matches up against Xavier. And I know that's a 6-11, but that's really going to be a toss-up and, I think, a battle. And those Xavier guys have played in a lot of tournament games, and it's kind of a new thing for Maryland. It's kind of just getting back on the map since Gary Williams left a few years ago.
Dan, I want to get your take on this. I was watching something the other day where they talked about the 1-16 matchup and how, and I think it's 128 matchups. 16's never beaten a 1, but statistically it should have happened by now. Do you think it ever will? What's your take on that?
I think we're past the point of when, I mean, it's a possibility. You know, and I think that's one of the great things about the play-in game for those 16 seeds that you know, you got a team the other night that won their first ever NCAA tournament game. And those kids, I know people talk about it's not really the tournament, but they're playing in front of 10, 12,000 people and they get a shot to win. I think there's a lot more parity in basketball, except in that those low major schools and the high majors, because they're always going to be playing 1 seeds and they're going to be playing against those 1 and 2 seeds that have those 1-and-done NBA guys. You know, you look at the Kentuckys and Kansas, and they're fully loaded. North Carolina, I mean, how many of those guys are going to be in the NBA? I just think that gap is growing bigger and bigger, which is kind of funny to say with as much parity as there is between, you know, the 4s and 12 to 13s.
My man, we could talk all day long on hoops. There's no question about that. Unfortunately, today we are just about out of time. I'll tell you what. You gave us some great perspective today. We would love to have you on again next week to break down some of these Sweet 16 matchups. Would you be okay with that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And these upsets are fun and great, but, I mean, we really have – there's some mouthwatering matchups that are coming up in the next couple weeks that are going to be really fun to watch.
Absolutely. We look forward to that. Well, Dan, thanks as always for coming on. And, again, we will definitely have you on again next week to break down the next round of matchups.
Thank you. You guys are doing a great job. Love the show.
Thanks.
Thanks, partner. Always appreciate you. Love having you on. We got to have Dan on again next week to break down the second round of matchups. That'll be a lot of fun for us.